front of their audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's who?
Dr. Bruce.
Dr. Bruce. How many goddamn days has Dr. Drew missed since we came back from Christmas?
I know those nickels are rolling around somewhere.
Yes. Are we into the 50s? I mean, we got to be in like the mid-50s.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think Drew has made it 2 weeks being in this studio.
Yeah, and then he does the remotes. Because I was supposed to come in one day and suddenly he appeared out of Washington, D.C. somewhere.
Nice. Yeah. What's happening, Bruce?
I'm just happy to be here. Two intimate hours with the virtual millionaire, the household name, Adam.
Not virtual.
Adam.
Literal.
Carolla.
God love you, Bruce. Oh, I love Dr. Bruce. I like Bruce because he knows things, except for last time he was here, he didn't know the Magic Mountain guy. A little bald gnome the crazy
I've seen that guy
Brett Summers glasses.
It's disturbing, and then he's flipping. He's doing flips. It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Bruce, were you here, Lauren? Were you here when Bruce was here last time? And this is a week ago. Never heard of that Magic Mountain guy, the bald guy.
I heard the conversation.
Yeah, week ago.
Yeah.
1 week ago.
Yeah. You know,
never heard of him. Never seen him? Never heard of him.
In my defense, I don't watch pedestrian television.
Let me say this.
You ever see him on C-SPAN?
Let me say this, Weisenheimer. Every time somebody doesn't know something you know, they go ahead and play that card. Well, excuse me, I enjoy reading and playing the flute. which means I'm perched in front of Nick at Night masturbating every night and drinking Mountain Dew.
You are.
How dare you?
Well,
how dare you turn it on me? You
good
should be
offense
apologizing.
Is the best defense.
That's true. All right. I think the best defense is a good offense. But anyway, Dr. Bruce, it's basically what you said. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician. I used to have to explain who he was. Now I have to explain who Drew is on the rare occasion he actually shows his puss around the studio. Dr. Bruce is board-certified. He knows how to handle a laser. He can remove a tattoo.
Yep.
He knows emergency medicine. He knows addiction medicine. He is a better doctor than Dr. Drew and smarter as well.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Dr. Drew is a doctor's doctor.
No. He's always wrong. All right. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
You're picking the calls. Remember, Honey Bunch?
I thought there was a call there that just
dropped
out.
There was a call. Now it's gone. Well, let me give that phone number out. 1-800-LOVE-191. And tonight might be a good chance for you guys to call with questions regarding lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Bruce has a laser. How do I know? I co-signed for it. That's how I know.
Hey, that's not supposed to be public.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's forget about
so
that.
So you're my partner there.
I'm his partner. The point is he does the tat removal. People have questions about tat removal. They don't know how many sessions it takes or how long it takes or what the difference between tats, colored ink, black ink, blue ink, all that stuff. Bruce will answer that and any cosmetic procedures done with a laser as well he can address. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 19?
I am 19.
What's up?
Well, almost a year and a half ago now, I started trying to lose some weight. I was about 325, 330 at the time when I made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down to about 205 now, 210.
Great.
So lost over 100 pounds. And recently been having some problems with my girlfriend, just real lack of sex drive with her. And it's kind of been going on ever since I lost the weight. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of frustrating because I put so much work into what I've done with myself. And I don't know, just kind of confused because you'd think it'd be the other way, you know?
Yeah. How's her weight?
She's, I'd say, average. Maybe a little bit heavier than average, but nothing, like, you know, not big.
Mm-hmm. And so you lose the weight, you lose the desire.
Yeah.
I have no idea because...
There's a balance in relationships. Sometimes you'll, you know, the situations that I find more commonly, somebody has a behavioral problem or an addiction, they get better, and the relationship falls apart inexplicably. Mm. Seemingly.
And the eating could be an addiction.
And well, you know, the body image is changed. Maybe she's threatened by your new svelte
look.
Well,
this is his... This is his motivation. Is it not, Nick, or is it hers?
It's her motivation.
She doesn't want to have sex.
Yeah, she doesn't want to do anything.
Oh, I thought his libido fell off.
No, hers did, and he's lost weight.
Okay.
So now maybe she's threatened. When something changes in a relationship, something changes in your life, it creates stress, even if it's something good.
Well, here's the thing, too. She signed up for a porker, and now... She's got a husky guy.
Yeah.
And that's not what she signed up for.
Right. And some people like, you know, they like the weight. They like a heavy set individual. And that's what sexually attracts them.
Were you 300 pounds when you met her?
When I met her, I was probably right at 300. And I probably.
All right. Here's the thing. You should probably talk to her about this. But if you're attracted to someone who's whatever they are, if they're 150 pounds and they go up to 250, that's going to hurt things.
Right.
And everyone just does the sort of math. Well, if you're attracted to someone at 300 pounds, you're going to be that much more attracted to them at 200 pounds. That's not really the way women work. There was something about you being 300 pounds that initially drew her in. And after talking to you, it's not your personality.
Right. Well, I've had patients where more commonly the woman loses weight and it creates a problem in the relationship. And there are men that like women that are... A little heavier.
Also, there's a couple things people are looking for in a relationship. Some people want to go out with the best-looking example of the opposite sex that can possibly get their grubby mitts on. That's my plan. Mm. Some folks go out with people that they just don't have to worry about.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's some rich people that drive crappy cars.
Like me?
Yeah, except for the rich part. And it's your sister's car. Other than that,
okay.
Spot on, brother.
Thank you.
Dead nuts on.
All right.
No. Yeah, there's some people that are like, I got a ton of money, and I drive this crappy Camry, and how come? I don't want the hassle. I don't want to worry about where it's parked. I don't want to worry. I want to throw the keys to the valet and not think about what he's doing in it. I don't want to think about it. And they're not in the cars that much. They want to get from point A to point B, but they don't want to think about it, even though I got enough money for a Mercedes.
Right.
There's some people that do relationships this way. I don't want to worry about one of my friends trying to get with them. I don't want to worry about what they're doing when they're on vacation in Mexico and I'm over, you know. And you get a big fat guy, it's safe. So now, maybe he's not so safe. Maybe he's feeling good about himself.
I wonder if the guy's giving off the vibe that he's now more marketable and he's hanging out at the gym. And
He's wearing that unitard around.
Well, Nick? I mean, we talked about, I thought about that, and I asked her about that. And it just doesn't really add up because she's had jealousy issues since we started dating. We've been dating for 3 years.
So
now it's kicked into overdrive.
Yeah, and you use the term, it doesn't add up. Now, you're a male, and you're thinking. Now, that's a problem when you're talking about understanding your significant other there. So, not to insult the female mind, but it's just the male and female mind not.
Listen, Nick, here's the thing. You're going to have, you can put up with this for a little while longer, and you can talk to her, but if this is going to keep up, you keep going down. Her libido keeps going down. Eventually, you get to about 187, and it's time to part ways.
Yep.
All right? And you're 19. This thing's been going on for 3 years. It's probably time to wrap it up. Just wrap it up.
Or see a therapist.
He's 19. Who wants to see a therapist? He lost 100 pounds. He's feeling good about himself. He's 19. Date around. Check it out. Did you notice how much traffic was out tonight driving here?
Yeah, well, I have to. I'm 85 miles away, so I've got the traffic report on.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I was lucky. 10 was backed up, cut over to the 60, blazed in.
Oh,
otherwise, I had the wrath of the
Pearl. Bruce thought I was going to make a point about traffic report, so he thought he'd just come in and cut my nuts off early on in the conversation. Yeah. Great instincts. That's not what I was going to talk about, but great instincts. Mm. Always great. Always good instincts to undermine.
That's right.
Figure out where he's going, get there first, and take a dump.
No, I know.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're
awesome.
Going to brag about your
improvisational
XFM
instincts.
Navigational.
Just shut up and listen. By the way, can I just say, if you notice there's a lot of traffic out there tonight, and you go, yeah, Can you do that? Can you just move me along?
Okay. I'm a thinking man. I'm just thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start thinking about being asked back here again.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that.
There is 30% more cars on the freeway tonight, and it's really hot outside. And I realize I've been sort of doing these patterns. When it gets hot, especially, you know, really hot in the evening, people just head out. And the freeways, there's no accidents. It's just there's a whole bunch more cars on the freeway at 10 o'clock at night than there normally are. And it's always curious to me because I'm going to work. I don't know what everyone else's excuse is. Like, are they going out to the reservoir to go swimming? They going out to the quarry to jump in the water? Like, where are they going because it's hot? Are you just driving in a circle with your air conditioning on? What do you decide to do because it gets warm? I don't even know if they know. I mean, do you think they're pacing around their house? It's like, it's kind of hot in here. I'm going to get my car and go where? What are they all doing out there?
You know, Thursday night's early escape for the weekend.
No.
I just read a New York Times article that said that. So.
Yeah, that's in New York, buddy. Last time I checked, we're out here in L.A.
I love L.A. where there are people driving around in warm weather with beautiful convertibles top up. Never have that.
Oh, yeah.
Can't have that top up.
You get cancer on your forehead. My point is I think people are sort of like roaches. You know, on hot summer nights, you walk down the street, you see the roaches sort of running. They just, like, when it gets hot, things start coming out.
Yeah.
Things, there's more movement. You come home, it's dark, it's at night, but it's real hot outside, and you hear the crickets just going at it, and frogs, and stuff's moving around. I think people have that same thing. I think when it gets really hot, people just get out and move around more.
Well, they drive crazier.
They do.
They do. They're like roaches in cars.
All right, Bruce.
Okay.
Brandon?
Yeah, this is me.
Did you read an article about people driving crazier when it's hot?
No, there's a paper I read about something similar. But
really?
Yeah.
Do not share it with us.
I won't.
Go ahead, Brandon.
All right, well, here's what's going on. I'm going to get married in about a month, and both my fiance and I are virgins. She's 23 and 25, and, you know, we're just cool. We chose to do that because we want to save ourselves for each other and all that. The question I have is for Dr. Bruce, how can I make our first experience more comfortable for her?
Coke. Gotta coke her up, right?
No.
No?
Okay, have you gone to premarital counseling?
Ooh.
No, we haven't.
What do you do?
To do that.
What goes on with that?
It's virtually a requirement in most...
Are you Mormon?
Yes.
You are?
Oh, then that has to happen.
Why? How's that? According to your church, you have to go to premarital counseling?
Well, I don't know where the
What? Let him answer.
No, we don't have to.
You don't. And what about premarital counseling? Did you go to premarital counseling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look where you're at. You're divorced driving your sister's car. It's a good thing you went. Maybe you should.
Yes, and Brandon, let's, on that note, discuss. Okay. The first sexual experience, you're both virgins, and I think talking about it beforehand and understanding that inherent in that situation is being a little bit uncomfortable. I think the problem a lot of couples have initially is they're both uncomfortable and they're both afraid to discuss it and bring up that topic. So,
yeah, but what do you do in premarital counseling?
Oh, I should never have mentioned
this. No, I want to know. How's it go?
Well, basically, the idea is that you're seeing somebody that's discussing how serious this move in life is, and you're talking about your values and your plans and
but
how you're going to handle
the relationship. But you've seen a guy who's been divorced three times and is making $13,000 a year.
Not necessarily.
He's got a beat-up Maverick in the parking lot.
It's not Dr. Phil you're talking about.
You know, I was thinking about that. You know, I was just thinking, you know, it's always ironic that, you know, guidance counselors are really haven't accomplished much in their life. Otherwise, it wouldn't be guidance counselor. Mm. But let me ask you this. Do you think any guidance counselor, when he or she was in high school seeing their guidance counselor, said, you should be a guidance counselor? Answer, no. Therefore, everything that comes out of their mouth is worthless. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, there are actually aptitude tests that are...
You take an aptitude test, none of them says guidance counselor, but the guidance counselor gives you the aptitude test, and then it comes back with something else, but never guidance counselor. So my question to the guy who gave me the test is, what did you score, and why didn't you do it, and how good can this test be?
Yeah, and you didn't go, you never went to a guidance counselor, I'm sure.
Hell no! No.
And you don't generally support psychotherapeutic.
Yes, I do.
You do. Not guidance counselors or premarital counseling. No.
Well, I support tough love. I mean, if you're a crappy student, someone needs to yank you out of class and give you a welding rod and tell you to get busy. Because you ain't going to college.
And you'd close all community colleges.
Well, I wouldn't close them. I'd turn them into prisons.
Okay.
Well, leave them open. Okay. And whoever's in there gets incarcerated.
All right. The bottom line is that a lot of people don't take marriage that seriously, or they're not mature enough to get married. And how old is...
She's 25.
Brandon's 25.
And look, there's no magic anything. You two... Just if you're in love, you just sort of let nature take its course. You find your way.
Right.
Okay.
Some of the people that.
Sorry,
yeah, go ahead.
I understand nature taking its course and all that, and cool. We're responsibly making the decision. Let me restate my question. My understanding is that given that most virgins still have, as far as the female side, their hymen intact, that with the breaking of that causes pain. How can we lessen?
Yeah. Here's the thing. At age 23 or 24, she may not have it intact.
Right.
You see? I don't know, Bruce. Do you know how... And it might be a matter of percentage.
Yeah, it's a partial membrane. There is some pain involved. And you having the consciousness of
pain at 13, what about 23?
It's if she's a virgin and it's intact, there will be some pain. There will be some bleeding.
But is there a decent chance that it may not be intact that late in life?
There's a
what
chance.
What if you were 70? Would you have a hymen at 70?
At 70, everything gets a little bit...
Everything falls off.
Flaccid.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But there's not much flaccid. Okay, so listen, using a lubricant, being gentle, but inevitably there's going to be a little bit of pain and bleeding, but it's not...
And by the way, this guy's going to bust a nut before he gets into the hymen anyway. Now, look, I want to be... Was that good?
And now that you listen to that, he's got some performance anxiety and you've wrecked his marriage. Way to go.
Look, all right. Little lube. Little vino, huh?
Yeah, a little...
Loosen up.
Right.
Little wine. Maybe a sitz bath.
Very good. Relax.
What about a woman dealing with her own hymen at that age?
Dealing with her own hymen. In other words, breaking it herself before the...
Yeah. Like, you know, you got a loose tooth, you pop it out yourself.
Well, you know, with tampons and with other things that may be used for pleasuring, there are some hymens that are broken in virgins
prior to
the event.
That's what I'm saying. She's 23.
Okay. So you're...
Here's what I'm asking you, Bruce. If... Let's just say you're 23, you're 24, you're going to get married in a few months. You're a virgin. You're pretty sure your hymen's still intact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get the tampon up in there, though, right?
Right.
You can.
Well, it depends. This hymen is an incomplete membrane. It can be more complete or less. So
right.
Some individuals, when they're using a tampon, that will break it.
And what if it's totally intact? Does a tampon work?
Well, it's not going to be totally intact. Then you have an imperforate.
Well,
membrane.
My point is, do you want to, you know, go get yourself a vibrator or use your finger or something and kind of make sure there's no obstructions for the honeymoon?
No, I wouldn't advise that.
Then just have the guy's dork run into it?
Right.
But why risk that whole uncomfortable, bloody, you know, lesson in humiliation?
Well, it's just not a general principle to advise a woman before marriage to... address
them. All right, why? What's up with you? Are you uptight?
No.
What's going on with you? Look, here's what I'm saying. There's an obstruction that is going to make her first time painful.
Not. Okay.
Or it's not. Then
maybe.
If it's not, then say it's not.
I'm saying a good percentage of the time it's not a problem.
A good percentage, because it's not there or because it just breaks or why?
Any of those reasons. It's not.
All right. And at 23, it's not even there.
Right.
All right. Well, then agree with me when I said that 20 minutes ago.
I just like to hear you rant on and yell at me.
Oh, quiet. I'm done with you. I said good day.
All right.
Kristen?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Hi. I've been
Hold on a second.
Why am I picking the calls when you don't
follow Why are you picking the calls? It's a schlong fest here. You want to talk to your third dude, and we got a 32 double F chick who's 17 and hot, and we want to talk to your third dude in a row.
She's been on hold for a minute and 50
seconds. Who cares?
There's no such thing as a double F.
Use your brain. Kristen?
Yeah.
Double F?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a double F.
Well, that's the bra size I am.
It is.
Where do you get those bras?
Yeah, where do you get them?
Specially made.
Where?
It's just a boutique in the town I live in.
All right.
It's like your Asian friend, isn't it?
All right. Minka?
Yeah.
Number one Asian big boob queen?
Yeah.
Kristen?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. How, 32 double F. What size is the rest of you?
I'm like 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost 130.
Oh, wow. That's quite a novelty body you must have.
Adam's doing breast math on a piece of paper here.
See, because you want to look for the low front number. You don't want that 38. You want that 32. That's a small back. So you're kind of slender except for the breast part, right?
Yeah.
Can you wear a bikini?
No.
What do you do? I mean...
Well, if I want to go to, like, a water park or something, I wear a bra and then a tank top with it.
Ah, I see. Frustrating, but still satisfying.
You're trying to picture the
trying to see what that looks like, right. Yeah. Wow, do you have a boyfriend?
No.
All right.
All right, so, Kristen, do you have a problem?
Yeah, I went to a plastic surgeon because I'm going to get a breast reduction because of... You know, I don't like the way the guys look at me because that's what they do. They just stare like they're going to jump or something.
Yeah.
So, and I was looking at all the pictures that he's done breast reductions on. Mm. And all the women have been like 40. He doesn't have any pictures of girls that are younger.
Yeah, that's because I took them.
I just wanted to know.
I broke into the 18 to 22 file.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how bad the scarring would be for a younger person versus an older person.
I know you're talking to Dr. Bruce, but I've done extensive research in this department because every time Dr. Marcel comes in here, he brings his catalog. I don't know that the scarring is that much different because I don't think the procedure is that much different.
Right. You should have less scarring. But
you should have less scarring, but there's going to be or there's the possibility of scarring.
Yeah, scarring, there's also the genetic aspect of it. For instance, the extreme case are keloids, which are severe scars that seem to take on a life of their own and you have scar tissue. But if you don't have a family history or personal history of scarring problems and it's a qualified plastic surgeon, your age, it's 17. I mean, if you were 14, I'd say, well, maybe you should wait. But you're at the right age, and you're probably having some also back pain and some other problems along with it besides the gut.
Yeah, I go to the chiropractor 3 times a week.
Yeah.
3 times a week. Are you a virgin?
No.
Oh, okay.
So this is a qualified, board-certified plastic surgeon?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what about, why no boyfriend?
I don't know. I just don't like the way, I haven't found a guy yet that'll just judge me for me. Like, he looks right at my body and is like, ooh. And then
She's going out with age-appropriate guys close to her age. Most of them are probably going to be fairly immature.
Good luck, by the way, finding the guy who judges you for you. And let me just say this. Our society has a stick up its ass with this. Hey, I don't know. Is it me? Well, they're only into you because you... do X, Y, or Z, or because you got 32 double F, or because this, or because that. Of course, that's how it works, everybody. What do you think? How do you think society works?
How shallow.
Well, that's the way it works.
No, but in relationships, you can meet someone that likes you
that's not what draws you in. That's not why you ask them out. You ask them out because you're attracted to them, and then hopefully you guys find some common ground, and you can... talk about something over dinner while you're waiting to jump on top of her. That's how it works when you're young, at least.
Right.
Look,
well,
okay, maybe. Look. But here's all I want to say. Young men, and when I say young men, I mean men 14 to age 64, are attracted visually to women. They're visually attracted. And there's women that have beautiful eyes, and that's fantastic. No problems there. And there's women that have beautiful legs, beautiful hips, beautiful smile, beautiful face, no problem there. But if you have a big rack and someone's attracted you because you have a big rack, then we got a big problem. What's the difference between the ass and the rack in terms of the attraction? It's just something. It's just a hand that God dealt you that is there to bring men in. I mean, a woman who has a beautiful face and beautiful tan legs will definitely get a ton of guys, and a chick that has a nice rack will get a ton of guys too. Neither one of them has anything to do with your personality. Zero. As a matter of fact, you probably have a worse personality when you're really good looking because you just don't work on it.
Right.
That's, you just have a bad attitude. Chicks that are really hot, you know, athletes are sort of stupid and they're shallow and they don't know anything about world events or anything. You know why? They don't have to.
Right.
That's why athletes are dumb and hot chicks are dumb for the same reasons. The doors open up, people leave them alone, no one comes down on them, and they don't have to sit there and bust their ass focusing and cramming for chemistry finals because they ain't going anywhere. They're going to marry some rich guy. And the athlete's not going to do anything because he's going to get a pass and he's just going on to college. It's the same principle. Why is it such a big deal that we be into her for something other than her boobs? At least someone's into her.
Yeah.
Well. And this whole part where you think you're going to get a 17-year-old guy is just really into your being and your aura. As long as you're hot, that's fine. Nobody's into any fat, ugly chicks being her aura when they're 17.
Right. But
and I don't trust that guy.
Is problematic because
that's problematic because she's self-conscious about it and because guys look. But when you're really, really beautiful, people look at you too. Believe me, I know. Believe me.
Yeah, I believe you. Okay. It's your show.
All right. So here's what I would say. Go get your consultation. That's fine. No guarantees on the scars. There's going to be some scarring. You may want to wait. You may want to give it a little more time. Maybe wait till you're 18 or so. Make sure you stop growing and all that good stuff. And then thirdly, find a guy you're attracted to. Find a guy you like. Doesn't mean a guy can't be physically attracted to you and like you because you're a nice person, too.
Right.
I mean, that's fine, right?
That's absolutely fine. But double Fs and the adolescent population out there. So she's to the point where she's assuming any guy that talks to her looks.
I know.
So
any guy in high school that talks to any girl is because he is physically attracted to the girl.
Yeah.
It's, whether it's the breasts,
some level.
The eyes. No, to almost all level. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you do. Okay.
I have an adolescent medicine. But
what's the difference between an incredible smile and a beautiful rack? Neither one has anything to do with your personality.
Right. But to the average adolescent, there's a certain insecurity.
Now, quiet. Let's take a break. You got to know the difference between the questions I want answered and the ones where I want you to shut up.
Why do you think I'm so quiet most of the time?
Okay. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce in tonight. Why?
Dr. Drews. Where's Dr. Drew?
Someone must have dropped a nickel in Wisconsin. Yeah, I don't know where Drew is tonight. I stopped listening to him. I'm just surprised when he's here. I couldn't believe. I was scared to say anything. He was here 4 days in a row this week. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that guy.
I think I'm coming in Monday, too. So.
Really?
Just to make your night.
Oh, my God. Guy signs his contract and then never shows up again.
He's
genius.
He's a doctor, though.
He's a genius, that boy. So, yeah, I don't know what the hell Drew's doing. It's like Drew, in the last year, now make it 6 months, he decided to become like a professional ice skating coach and follow his daughter around from tournament to tournament. Then he got that TV show where he's going all over the place with that. He's still shilling for like a Trojan or something like that. Would you shut your phone? And he's all over. He won't turn down a speaking engagement. So between his, you know, six or seven various other jobs and hobbies, never hear anymore.
But it's commendable that he's
involved
with his daughter's skating.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
I love this TV show.
We should all do that with our jobs.
Right, okay.
You just get a job, then you get three other jobs, and you leave. It's awesome. You get paid the same. I come in here and do his job.
Ooh.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy. Josh?
Yeah, hi.
25?
Yeah. How you doing tonight, Adam?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. First of all, I want to say you're a brilliant man. You're going to be sorely missed if you leave.
Yep. Well, I'm going to.
Oh, that's so terrible.
Enjoy me while you can, everybody.
Well, my question is
I'm not kidding. Enjoy. Going? I'm leaving.
Leaving what?
This show.
No.
Yeah.
When?
Whenever Stern leaves. Yeah.
So I get to go on the Stern show?
Hell no. We gotta do a real radio show over there. Please.
Is Drew going with you?
Hell no. He's going to stay here and drive this show into the ground. Well, I don't even know if he's going to be here. You know, maybe out doing other things.
He'll have a network talk show. That's what I'll have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
All right. Well, my question is for Dr. Bruce.
All right.
What's the limitations on tattoos to be removed? Like, I have a full half sleeve that's just, you know, fully wrapped around the arm from shoulder to elbow. And it's professionally done, so it's not, you know, single needle and light ink or anything. What's your limitations on something like that?
Okay, there's no limitation on tattoo removal, and I've done sleeves before. It's just
what do you mean limitation?
Well, how much can you remove? In other words, how if you have a whole arm,
as many sessions as you want to go to, however much you can remove, right?
What about the finished product? I mean, how's it going to look? Is there a lot of scarring, or what's the case?
No, generally, again, unless you have a genetic tendency to scar or keloid, the process results in your skin looking pretty much the way it did before you got the tattoo. The darker, the more native pigment you have, the greater the chance that the tattoo removal process will remove some of that pigment, and you might have a little bit lighter area or darker.
Why do these people keloid? Why do they keloid? Why do blacks keloid or Latinos keloid more than honkies?
I don't know the reason for that, but it's more common. I don't know the why.
It's much more common, right?
Right.
What is that?
I could research, but it's a genetic
predisposition. It's a genetic thing, but I thought there's no difference between anybody.
No, anybody can have keloid formation, but keloid is a response.
But it's much more commonplace in blacks than it is in whites.
Yeah, but the reason for that, other than the genetics, I don't know.
All right.
But anyway, so you can have the procedure done. It takes more time.
I'm saying, haven't these people suffered enough? You know what I mean? What's God's plan with that? We'll make them slaves. Oh, and if they cut themselves shaving, I'll put a huge scar on them. They'll never go away. You know what I mean? What kind of plan is that?
Josh,
what plan did God have?
You can't blame God for all
this. Oh, yes.
You can. Okay. So, Josh, are you dark-skinned to begin with or light-skinned?
Oh, light-skinned. I'm Irish, so...
Okay, so the laser tattoo removal process is very forgiving. It's slow. It's very much these days non-traumatic. You go to a qualified practitioner, and you generally have no bleed.
It's going to take multiple sessions.
Right, average of 8 to 12 sessions once a month. And the problem with tattoo removal with the laser is it does hurt. And the topical anesthetics that are used are not that effective at penetrating to the area where the nerves are. The nerves are fairly deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful with any kind of anesthetic. You can inject xylocaine and do a tattoo removal. When you have a large area like that, injection is out. You have to be very careful with potent
injection
topicals.
Won't cover that
it's
large
too much
area.
Of an area. In other words, you have to calculate the amount of xylocaine. There's a limit to how much you can inject because of the toxicity. You can overdose on it.
Yeah,
and this has even happened. There have been some cases in the news this year of people dying from the cream on.
How big an area can you cover in a session? As much as you can tolerate?
I've done people that are sleeved in a session.
Do the whole sleeve?
I've done the whole
all the way
arm in
wrist
one session.
Up to the armpit in one session. How long might that take?
Probably an hour.
About an hour. And then they come back a month later?
A month later.
And they do another hour.
Do it again.
And in 10 months from there, might be done?
Be very light by 10 months. But it just depends. I mean, I've had one guy 35 treatments.
Really?
Yeah, with non-professional tattoos. It was.
Are those harder to get out?
Well, it just depends. Again, a lot of they're using guitar strings and various things. So this guy had pooled ink in his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
a prison tat?
Yeah.
Jewish guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Half Jewish, half Asian.
Yeah. Half Japanese, half Jewish.
Right.
Yeah. That's look, I don't want to stereotype, but I think we're all thinking Jew when you're talking about prison tats and bullying and that kind of thing.
Well, I can tell you about some white supremacist tats.
F the LAPD. Yeah, give me a good white supremacist.
A good story?
Tat. Yeah, give me a good one.
When I was a trauma comes in, a guy with, you know.
Now you're working the OR?
ER.
I mean ER.
Right. Very nasty, anti-Semitic
tattoos.
Yeah, and he was very violent and belligerent. So I told
him, because here's the thing: why you don't want to get the anti-Semitic tats? Because all the doctors are Jews.
Well,
so you get in a motorcycle accident. You got a bunch of Jews standing over you, and it says "F you, Jaime" on there, and they just let you die on the table.
Yeah. So this guy's on the backboard. He's fighting, and this is getting towards the end of my ER career when I was a little burnt out. So
what does tats say?
Oh, you know, just the white supremacist stuff. F the Jews, and you know, very simple.
Basic. So standard fare.
I sort of failed my Hippocratic oath, and I said, you know, this is a Jewish hospital, buddy, and the floor you're going to is
was
all
it?
Jewish doctors. No.
Yeah, but they are anyway, but yeah. Yeah.
But, it's just amazing what, if you want to look at stupid tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm going to probably get myself shot, but some of the white supremacist tattoos are just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Top of the list.
Yeah.
I would like to do a coffee table book called Stupid Tattoos.
It's probably been done. There's that new tattoo show that's going to be on TV.
I know, but that's not a coffee table book called Stupid Tattoos.
That's true. You're right.
I got a couple of coffee table books I want.
Mm. Well,
I'll tell you, speaking of race, you know, my idea, 80s black Florida prom as a coffee table book.
That's exciting. Simon and Schuster.
Huge mammoth Jerry curls and like orange top hats and chicks with the parasols. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
80s black Florida prom. That'd be an awesome coffee table book.
DET will be on the line tomorrow morning. Your agent.
Well, but I'm just saying that's a good coffee table book. That's a page turner there. But then stupid white supremacist tats, or just stupid tats. Or actually, we could have different categories.
There's
stupid
an ER
tats, stupid white supremacist.
There's an ER
tats.
Doc at LA County Hospital that does a lecture on stupid tats.
Mm-hmm.
Things like game over on the eyelids. So when you close the eyes.
Oh, really?
Also, some guy had tattooed instructions on being taken to L.A. County ER when he's shot because it's the best trauma center. Tattooed into his leg. Yeah. She's got a great lecture on that.
Didn't they have a F the LAPD?
I've taken off three of those. I'm proud.
Three F the LAPD. Let me tell you something. You should get some sort of certificate after you take off two F the LAPD tats where next time you get pulled over, they'll let you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How about a little love?
I don't think there's a lot of love there. No.
That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to take a break. Jessica, who's 26, has a mole on her eyelids that keep growing out of control. Jessica?
Yes?
What's up?
Hey, I went to the doctor, ophthalmologist, actually, and he said that I could have it removed. But what would happen is that the eye would actually close up even more because they had to cut it off and then sew the eye closer together. And it's on my lower eyelid and, of course, I have Asian eyes, so that helps a lot.
You have what kind of eyes?
Asian eyes.
Oh.
So
that's cool if you're Asian, but it's weird if you're not.
Yeah. So.
You're Asian then. Well, hold on a second. Another book, by the way, coffee table book. This is Bar Mitzvahs.
Uh-huh.
76 through 83.
What about bar mitzvahs?
Just I have a couple of Jewish buddies who are bar mitzvahed probably 13, probably like 77, 78, 79. I've seen their pictures. There's
blackmail material.
You've never seen anything funny. Just mammoth Jew fro, all braces and schnoz, 120 pounds. Today you're a man. you know what I mean? Wearing their dad's corduroy suit or maybe a tux with some ruffles. Maybe like a Star Wars theme or something. And just nothing better.
That's
nothing
idea.
Funnier. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, my 80s Black Florida prom is strong, too. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. You'd love to see those pictures. 1982, Tallahassee, Florida. Crazy Jerry curls.
I think anything 70s, 80s, you know, it's cultural.
There's going to be two good coffee table books right there.
Yeah.
I put them right next to each other so people think I'm even-handed.
I'll invest in a bar mitzvah book, I think.
Please. We'll take a quick break. Quiet down. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll talk to Jessica with the mole on the eyelid after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Don't worry, everybody. He's board certified, or at least he was. He's an addiction medicine specialist. He's a whiz with the laser. He'll remove your tats and make you look 20 years younger. And what else? ER medicine. This kid's good. He knows what he's doing. You ready to rock?
We gotta finish with Jessica.
Oh, Jessica over here, yeah. Jessica's Asian. Yes, Jessica?
Yes.
And you have mole on your eye, and if they remove it, it makes your eye squintier?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. On I'm surprised.
Well, maybe they'll just make people think you don't trust them.
Like a
you know what I mean?
Or something.
Yeah, like,
Yeah, but that's not, that shouldn't happen. First of all, if you have a mole and it's changed, you know, all other bets are off. You got to get the thing biopsied. And it's not something you burn off or that you scrape off.
If a mole grows or changes in any way, you have to get a biopsy.
Yeah, you know, the rule is if it changes in color, in size, in shape, irregular edges, anything like that, you have to have that biopsy. Now, you know, one possibility is having a dermatologist. Anybody can do the biopsy, but I work with a dermatologist, and she works with a specific plastic surgeon, and when they have delicate areas or certain cancer surgeries, he does the closure, she does the Mohs surgery or whatever it is that they're doing. But anyway, the bottom line is you need to have it biopsied. A biopsy goes to a dermatopathologist. They look at it under a microscope to make sure it's not cancerous. And with a mole, you worry about melanoma, obviously. And without seeing you and looking at you, these kind of things generally have a very good cosmetic result. But
all right. So
laser, you're saying, right? Not with
No.
They
can't laser a mole. A mole has to be removed, cut out, sent to a pathologist, sliced up, and
looked
down.
You don't want to laser it because you want to have it sent to a pathologist, right? Okay. Maybe she needs to leave Sacramento and go to, like, San Francisco or something.
No, you see, Dave. I mean, she's probably going to a qualified ophthalmologist, and maybe it's not truly a mole. Maybe it's something that he's looked at and determined is...
All right. But it shouldn't close her eye because they remove a mole. Maybe he was talking about some sort of temporary swelling or something like that.
Go to a dermatologist, please.
Okay. All right. Don't yell at her. Sean?
Yeah.
26?
That's me.
You're considering laser hair removal.
Yeah, on my scalp.
On your scalp. Why?
Because since I was 17, my hair fell out, and I shave it, you know, 2-3 times a week, and it's just a pain. And I know, like, at one point in time, weren't you thinking about it, didn't you?
I did.
Right, and Bruce did it, right?
No.
That was a comedy skit of some sort.
No, that Sawbones, Dr. Marcel did it. And charged me retail, by the way. Retail.
I could take a lesson from that guy.
No kidding.
Listen, nobody's gonna laser your scalp.
They're not.
No.
Why not?
Because you may eventually want your scalp to grow back normally. Whether
he doesn't
there's
have
much left. Well, it doesn't matter.
He has male pattern baldness.
You assume everybody's gonna sue you. You never touch eyebrows. Okay?
Couldn't get a guy to do that.
Well, hey, listen. This is capitalism. You can get a
Marcel,
guy to do that.
You give him an 8-ball, he'll do it. You give that kid like a pinky ring, 8-ball, and some tanning cream. Yeah, he'll do it.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so, Sean, probably most people are going to refuse to do that because you could alter the hair follicles and the way that ultimately your hair, what's left of it, grows back.
Now, your hair was falling out at 17, right?
Yeah, I seriously have no hairline at all. It doesn't grow on top. I got the Gallagher look around the sides, you know, if I let it grow out, and that's never going to be in style. So I know.
Okay, yeah, but 10 years from now, you go back, and some moron goes ahead and does your laser, and you want to have the hair transplant thing where they harvest from the sides and fill your scalp.
All right,
and you can't do it.
All right, quiet. Let me address the lad. First off, you thank your lucky stars you are going bald in the, 90s instead of, you know, what would have happened if you'd done it in the 70s, in which case you would have had to look like Gallagher or Bozo or a
mullet.
Or no mullet. You don't even got anything up top.
Just that long thing.
Yeah, you look like Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I mean, here's the thing. There was a time, let me just preach a little from the mountaintop here, kiddies. There was a time where you had to wear your hair long, even if you only had four hairs. They had to be long. Right. There was no such thing as shaving your head. There was no such thing as going with the style that best suited your hair. Now, here's the hairstyle, whatever works best for your hair. If you have wavy hair, then you wear it a little more natural. If you have straight hair, you can wear it long. If you're going balding, shave it. Shave it straight on out. No problem. You don't think Vin Diesel can get laid? You don't think Michael Jordan gets a little tail on occasion? No problem. Now, back in the day, you had one way to wear your hair that was long and sort of feathered back, which was fine if your hair would do that. My hair wouldn't do that, and there are other people's hair wouldn't do that, so they just look like idiots.
But you tried. Everybody had to try it. Mine would grow at 90-degree angles from my school.
Right, and then, you look like a blockhead from Gumby and Pokey. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. So if you were, if you were Crosby, David Crosby, and you were a rocker, and you were in a band, but you were going bald, but it was 1974, you just had to be bald up top and have this weird, crazy, mad scientist bushy hair hanging out around your ears. You just look like an odd job from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Everyone just looked like an idiot. Yeah. See, now you wear the best hair you have. You guys don't realize how lucky you have it. You just don't. You want to go bald? Go bald. You want to wear dreads? Go dreads. You want to go with a buzz cut? Go buzz. You want to go with a butch cut or flat top, feathered, long, ponytail, whatever you like, whatever you want, whatever works best for your head.
So what's your advice to Sean?
Huh?
What should Sean do?
With his eye? Now, here's the thing. I got that laser on my neck because I would get ingrown hairs on my neck when I shaved, and I decided to get them lasered off. I went in two times. All it did was grow back and grow back underneath the skin and get ingrown when they did come back. I went two times. It didn't really work.
Well, it can take five to seven treatments.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
We're going to take a break, and I got charged retail. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm literally a millionaire. I can't afford to be charged retail.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Madam, that's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce fretting over there, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. What's going on? Gary Busey coming in here on Sunday. Oh.
That could be an interesting show.
There's going to be no talking with him in here.
No. It's like Steve Walden.
No. Oh, proselytizing. Waving that Bible around.
I saw him with the guy from Korn. They're teamed up.
Stephen Baldwin, Jonathan?
The guy that became a Christian. And
monkey face, peach, nut, head. What the
got
hell?
Got the dreadlocks.
See, there was head. I'm trying to think of the Korn guys. There was Jonathan. Then there was monkey. Then there was head. Then there was Feely. And there's one guy named Brad.
Brian?
Or something.
Yeah, that's the guy.
The drummer just is named
guitarist.
Like Chuck.
Brian.
I think his name is Head.
No,
Feely
no, no.
plays the bass.
You have to look it up on the internet.
Monkey.
All the Korn fans are going to call in now.
Yeah, I can't.
Berate you for not having intimate knowledge.
I got five out of the six guys.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's been a while.
So anyway, Steve Baldwin, he were on.
Well, Steve Baldwin, last time I saw Steve Baldwin, I was doing Stern, and I was out in New York, and Gary, Stern's producer, called me and he's like, what's up? And I was like, who's on today? And he's like, hey, you're on, and Stephen Baldwin's on. And I was like, that guy. I mean, I actually like Stephen Baldwin, but you don't just go in and talk with Stephen Baldwin.
No, I was here the last time he was here.
He thumps the Bible. Yeah, he's an intense guy.
The most shocking thing was your lack of, I've never seen you speechless before.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard because he's going.
Yeah, he's.
So I'm talking to Gary, Stern's producer, and I'm like, when's Baldwin out of there? He's like, well, Baldwin's out of here at 8. And I said, good. I'll see you at 8:05. And, I can plug my shows or do whatever. So he's like, well, what's the problem with Baldwin? I'm like, listen, he's thumping the Bible. He's speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't want to deal with that guy. Let him go in, do his thing. Let him blow hard about Jesus, and then I'll come in. That's fine. So I show up at about 8 o'clock, you know, ready to go on. Oh. Where's Baldwin? He's not here yet. Where is he? He's running late. Oh, you want to go on? Yeah, I'll go on. Then I go on. As soon as my ass hits the sofa and I pull the mic up, oh, here comes Stephen Baldwin. Oh, and by the way, Howard, should have heard Adam on the phone. Tell me what a blowhard he was. Sit on down there. Sit next to Adam, Steve. So what is this, Gary? What was he saying about Stephen? Yeah, it's awesome.
Everything happens for a reason, Adam.
That's...
You know they did that on purpose.
I know. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I don't even why I talk anymore. I should stop.
Yeah. Before you get the corn fans talking, it's Jonathan Davis, Monkeyhead, Fieldy, and David.
David.
David who?
The point is David's the drummer, right?
Well, who's the guitarist? Right.
It's David's the guitarist, I believe.
No, he's the drummer.
Brian or something.
No, the guitarist is Head or Monkey.
All right.
Monkey Head.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he's got a name.
Well, his parents named him Head.
Yeah.
We'll call him Monkey. Monkey Wittenberg. But he changed his last name, you know, when he got into show business.
Mm-hmm. Bar Mitzvah.
Candace?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
I've had a tattoo for, I got it when I was 13, so going on 14 years. So the tattoo's really old. It was homemade, just a sewing needle and thread, and I mean, real simple.
What a mess.
Yeah, tell me. So
why'd you did you give yourself a tat at 13?
No.
Friend it or something?
Yeah.
You must have been effed up at 13.
So anyways, as I was saying.
What was it of?
It was just an outline of a heart. It wasn't a solid heart. It was just a thin line of a heart with an arrow through it. So
stippled.
Uh-huh. I've carried this tattoo for a long time and kind of sat around and tossed it. Should I cover it? Should I get it removed? I'm not sure, blah, blah, blah. So I come down to L.A., and I finally decide, well, you know what? If I'm going to get my tattoo removed, this is the best place to get it done. There's a mecca of plastic surgeons down here who are all, you know, someone's going to do some good work. Mm-hmm. So I meet a plastic surgeon who is down in Beverly Hills, and he tells me that he can remove my tattoo, and he's very confident because I'm Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eyes, real fair skinned.
All right.
So, you know, I'm thinking this is a great idea for me to go ahead and do this.
And
he doesn't have his laser at his site. We have to go to Frederick Sakai to do this. So I'm very, I'm feeling really good about this. And he goes,
wait a minute, is that the guy from Star Trek
that died?
No.
Who's Frederick Takei?
It's a salon.
Oh, okay.
So he tells me that it's going to take about 4 or 5 sessions before this is completely done.
Mm-hmm.
And he does tell me, you know, it really just, it's based upon your skin tone and, you know, your scarring.
All right.
Blah, blah,
let's
blah.
Get to it. You must be good looking, Candace.
I go in, I get this scar, I get the tattoo removed, and it's done within 1 session. And within 1 session, the whole tattoo is just obliterated. It's
all right,
gone.
But then because you...
Did you bleed?
A little bit. I did bleed. But the thing was is that within, I don't know, about a week, you know, it really... When he first initially did it, it almost looked like shrinky dink, you know, the things that you would put in the oven and it would kind of just shrink up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looked like the tattoo had done. And then it got really infected. I mean... I wouldn't say pussy, but it was, I don't know, kind of like if you were to pull back a scab that it had been.
All right. Then now,
really milky.
Yeah. What's the question, though, Candace?
Well, the thing, I have a keloid, and it's a horrible scar now.
Mm.
And it's not even a scar of the outline of the tattoo. It's basically.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took that long.
Whew, she talks more than I do.
She's probably better looking.
Now, do you, she's definitely hot.
Yeah.
Because the hotter you are, the more you talk, because people don't tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
But over the radio, it just sounds like someone who can't
shut their
pie hole.
She has the ability to project that good looking.
She does. Yeah. Through her confidence. Yeah. I'm turned on. So listen, Bruce.
Yeah.
Did the guy try to do too much too fast? Perhaps he should have done this over a number of sessions and tried to get it all in one session?
No. I mean, there's no telling. It sounds like... Well, I don't know what it sounds like.
All right. Well,
here's the deal, though. Here's the problem.
Thing to say. What do you think? Something good's going
to
come out? Because you go,
I'm trying to think of a 10-second
answer. Let me tell you this, mister. Nothing's coming out.
Here's something interesting. Candace.
Yes.
Okay. The problem with tattoos, you don't know what's in the ink. And it sounds like, first of all, I don't know if you had a history of keloid scarring and you didn't tell him.
Or no.
You didn't ask, whatever. But I have researched tattoo inks because I have nothing better to do. And they're actually, you never know what's in these inks. There are people putting acrylics. They're putting plastic compounds in the
inks. She did it herself as a ballpoint pen.
Oh, no, it was a sewing needle.
Oh, what ink did you, how'd you make the ink, though?
I know, but what ink?
It was Indian ink, what I was told. It was a long time ago, though. So
India ink's usually just, you know, a breeze. That comes out
What's
really
in a ballpoint pen?
Asking me?
Yeah.
Ink.
So would, if this...
I don't know what's in the dye in the ballpoint.
The ink that they used to give me that the tattoo, if it was something that was kind of, that shouldn't have been used, wouldn't I have noticed by now? I mean, would it have taken me getting the tattoo removed to notice, oh, maybe there was something really bad in the ink?
No.
15 years.
Yeah, the problem is there's nothing considered bad.
Bruce, what is your field of expertise, by the way? You do transmissions, or what do you work on?
Tattoo ink is unpredictable.
Give her some answers, would you? You're all over the goddamn place. Let's go. Give her some answers.
She has some scarring. She needs to see
plastic
surgery.
Why?
Because, first of all...
Because of the ink?
No, because any trauma to the skin, if you have keloids...
She doesn't tend to keloid.
Okay.
Why?
Then it could be...
Why did it all come out in one session?
I have no idea.
Do you think he may have spent too much time in the one session and not spread it out?
It could be, but the laser that's used, even if you go over and over and over it generally doesn't penetrate that deeply.
Why not do less sessions and stay longer? Won't work that way?
No. He was anticipating doing multiple sessions, but the problem...
All right, you have no answers. Okay, listen.
If you're having a tattoo...
I'm apologizing for Bruce. He's having a tough night. He's just having a tough night.
So you have scarring now? No, I do have...
Yeah, she has scarring now. It got infected.
Okay.
You have answers for her.
How long ago was this?
This was, I'm going to say about 5 months ago.
Okay.
And he just told me to put like Aquaphor on it. And when I went back to him after about a week, 2 weeks, I said, does this still look like I should just be using Aquaphor because it was really infected? And he was really apprehensive. He didn't want to tell me it was infected. He just said, oh, it looks really angry. I'm like, yeah, I can tell. Yeah. You know, it is. It's upset.
Candace.
Yes.
Where's your dad? You sound angry at men, baby. What's going on?
So my question is...
Where? My question is, where's your dad? What happened? When did he split?
He lives in Oregon.
Oh, when did he move?
Not that long ago. He retired there.
He retired to Oregon from Los Angeles?
No, from Monterey.
Is that where you grew up?
Pretty much. Well, for the last 13 years.
Wow. And what happened? Where's the trauma? Why were you giving yourself a homemade tattoo?
The trauma
was
when I got my tattoo removed.
Now, why were you giving yourself a tat at 13?
But that's not what this talk show is about.
I don't... contraire, baby. First off, it's about whatever I want to talk about, number one. Number two is exactly what it's about. So I want to know what happened to you, and then we'll tell you what to do with your tat.
Well, nothing happened.
Well, something happened. Come on.
Well, what are you looking for?
Well, you gave yourself a tattoo at 13 with a sewing needle. Something's up.
Well, let's just say I didn't have a whole lot of supervision. But I grew out of that stage, and now...
Monterey.
A young lady.
Dad's in Oregon. Hippie. Hippie parents?
Mm-hmm.
Kinda. He was a weed...
Yeah. Sold dope. More. Yeah. Sold weed.
Hippie. That's what he was. He was a conservative,
successful
hippie.
Selfish, smoked pot, more into his business than into you. You're acting out. Yeah, now...
And I'm still brokenhearted over it.
Little anger toward the fellas, though. You're angry, baby. I can hear it in you. Do you have a man?
I'm angry because of this tattoo, because I've been
wanting it removed
for so long, and I like tattoos.
I think she dropped the S-bomb.
Yeah.
Bruce, you're done tonight, buddy. You got nothing.
Oh.
You got nothing. You know what it is? Let me explain what's going on.
What's going on?
I am the skipper of the baseball team, and I'm coming out to the mound.
Uh-oh.
And you're arguing with me. I'm going to the bullpen right now.
Start
warming up. I'm giving you the hook.
Yeah.
And you're saying, skipper, you're getting shelled.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm saying, like any good skipper. You're not a bad pitcher. it's not your night.
Yeah,
I'm
that guy in the Rangers. So I'm going to kick your ass.
You're just you're having a bad night. You're getting shelled. Excuse me.
Okay, listen. I'll take a look at her tattoo.
Your junk's not working.
No.
The sliders aren't sliding. Breaking balls ain't breaking. Slide. No movement. No movement on the ball. Fastball's in the low 80s. I'm giving you the hook. Take that jacket. You know, do that thing with the windbreaker where you just put on one arm? You're too lazy to actually put on the other arm.
Let's take the analogy one step further.
I'm just giving you the hook.
So who's the doctor replacing me? You?
Well, that's the thing. There's nobody in the bullpen.
You're screwed.
I'd rather just forfeit, have the game called.
Let me talk to Candace.
No.
I'll look at her tattoo.
Candace.
Yeah?
Here, I'll talk to you off the air, and I'll check your tattoo next week.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
How's that going?
Fine.
Yeah? What's he into?
Acting.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Is he a waiter?
No.
What do you do? What do you do for a living?
I'm in the jewelry business.
Jewelry business?
Yes.
All right. Nice. Is that good living?
It can be.
All right. I'll get her number.
Now, where was the tattoo?
On my breast.
Oh, okay. Now,
angry
breast, and that is an area that's prone to scarring. And sometimes they'll mention that to you. Sometimes you'll do a little test spot first.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Because then I would have had a tattoo put over it.
Right. But, all right. So now she has a keloid scar there.
So
yes?
What can I do about the keloid? Is there any kind of cosmetic procedure that I can go through with that might make...
All right. Okay. So you're sure it's a keloid?
Yes. Now what? Go.
Okay. You can use intralesional steroids. Okay, you can see a dermatologist.
Go see a dermatologist. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, and there also are laser and surgical procedures to address keloids.
All right, so go to a dermatologist. That's your next stop.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk to... you got nothing tonight. You don't have... That's all right.
I'm in my Dr. Spaz persona.
You've had some good nights here. This just isn't one of them. That's all.
Shaking my confidence for the rest of the...
What confidence? You have no confidence.
Did you put sugar in your coffee?
Did you put the 26 sugars in your coffee? Is that normally is what gives you your confidence?
I only have 6 sugars.
And 5 sweet and lows. How many sweet and lows do you put in one coffee?
5 sweet and lows, or 3 sweet and lows and 4 sugars. So
you know, it's like most people have to put half a sweet and low in their coffee, otherwise it tastes too bitter. He puts 5 of them in there. What happens? Someone take a soldering iron to the inside of your mouth?
No.
What happened?
Okay. Question I have, and you blow it off all the time.
That's enough.
You ever drink soda? How many teaspoons of sugar is it? Okay. Why do people drink water? You want to talk about that? You don't listen to anything.
Listen, when someone has something to say, that's when I'll listen.
No. When someone has something to say that you agree with, that's when you listen.
You, it's like I just backed over a cat or something. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing coming out. Justin?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, sir. I am. I was wondering if, first of all, man, I'm extremely, extremely fond of you, and I admire you like crazy. I'm kind of nervous talking to you, actually.
Talking about Bruce?
Talking about Bruce? No, yeah, I'm nervous.
Oh, no, I just mean you're a big fan of Bruce?
No, I'm a big fan of you and Dr.
I was trying to build...
And I was wondering, since Bruce is having such a weak night, if you could get Drew on the phone for me?
Oh,
where's Dr. Drew?
He can't come to the phone, though. He's underneath a hooker at a Ramada in Omaha. He can't talk. Yeah.
So you're stuck with me, Justin.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
No, I'm not stuck with you. I'm more than happy to have just to listen to.
Bruce is good. You just can't tell by talking to him.
All right. Well,
a little insight, Justin. If you were sitting this close to Adam Carolla for 2 hours at a time, then you'd be off at the... Person. Yeah, Dr. Drew is on tranquilizers now, and it's from years of dealing with Dr. Carolla.
Please. All right, go ahead, Justin. What's your question?
All right. I was with my girlfriend for a while, and she always had fever blisters. I had never had one, and after I kissed her, I noticed that I did have a fever blister.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was wondering if in my next relationship, I kiss a girl, and then she gives me oral, if she can put it down there on me.
What do you think, Bruce?
Yeah, Herpes 1 and 2 can be exchanged in either direction.
They can.
Yes.
They didn't always think that, did they? Or did they?
Yes.
They did. Okay.
Not a good spot to be in.
I think Drew begged to differ. There's a couple of things I've learned from sitting next to Drew, the 2.3 times a week he averages being here over the last 10 years, which is, any kind of cold sores, herpes. Almost everything is herpes, according to Drew, although I think he likes the idea that people have herpes. So he just diagnoses everything as herpes.
Herpes are worse.
Cold sores are a form of herpes, and if you get them, then you can spread them, and you can spread them even if there's nothing present or nothing visible. Eventually, you gotta lead your life. You know what I mean? Right. So if you're a guy like Justin and you have a new girlfriend, is it okay to make out with her if there's nothing present?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then have at it, but wait till there's nothing present, and it can't be moments before something's coming, so you have to kind of keep an eye on yourself.
Yeah. I haven't had a blood test or anything, and I do have pimples, so, I mean, I wasn't absolutely sure, but is it a blood test or do I need, like, dermatologists?
They have to see it, pretty much.
You can scrape it. And
yeah, but I mean... You have to wait till you have a herpes outbreak and then go in and have someone look at it.
But nobody's, I mean, even the smear that you do to look for it under the microscope, I mean, people just don't do that. They'll look at it and they'll diagnose it that way and give
they'll
you
just eyeball it, right?
Eyeball it, right.
Yeah, they can trained eye tell the difference between a zit and a herpes.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're getting back on track. How about Amber? She's donating her eggs.
To pay for school.
Amber?
Yes.
You're considering being an egg donor to pay for school?
I am considering it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go ahead and put that in a different sentence. Like, we'll change the word egg for car. She's considering donating her car to pay for school.
First of all, she's not donating anything.
That's what I'm saying. She's going to donate her old refrigerator to pay for school. Donate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't looked it up in the dictionary in a while, but why don't you look up donate? See how that's defined. I'm guessing there's no definition in donate, which suggests you get $5,500 when you donate something.
Right.
I think it actually goes against the actual definition of donate, to sell something. And we call it donate because it makes you feel better about yourself, just like we say it's pro-choice instead of pro-abortion.
Right, but there's an association between the word donate and harvesting, I think. When you're talking about an egg coming out.
No, there's no...
No.
No, no. What do you think? A farmer harvests his wheat and then donates it into a silo?
That's a rather concrete analogy.
Thank you.
Yes.
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Amber?
Yes.
You're going to sell your eggs?
Yes.
And how much?
$5,000, and you can do it up to 3 times.
3 times?
Wow.
Jesus Christ. I would have sold a toe for $2,500 when I was 21, and I would have done it up to 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
kidneys, they're going after all kinds
of stuff. What do you look like?
I'm about 5'5", 150 pounds, brown hair, green eyes.
What does that have
green
to do
eyes?
With?
Well, why?
Yeah.
Because you get more if you're college educated, you get more if you're taller, you get more if you're blonde, you get more if you're blue-eyed. If you're short, you get less.
That's sperm donation.
It floats around.
Eggs.
No, that's egg donation.
I don't believe it.
What do you mean you don't believe it?
No.
It's the truth.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look like Cindy Crawford, you get more for your eggs. If you're if you're 4'4 and 220 pounds, you don't get to donate an egg.
You have to give money.
Well, you're stupid. There's those things, yeah. It's like, hey, Tammy, how much for the egg? $8? That doesn't sound like much. It's all I could afford. Actually, I had to pay.
So, Amber, what kind of screening process did you go through?
And they ask you, like, stuff about education level, right?
Right. Well, what I'm actually calling for is I wanted to ask you what they might disqualify me for.
What have you been up to?
Up to their discretion that they'll disqualify you for.
Well, read us. Do you have any of the literature, or can you tell us anything?
I looked online, and they want you to submit like all this information to consider you, and then they get back to you if they want. That's basically what they said.
thanks for that specific example. Do you have any? I want you to give a bunch of information. Do you have anything in front of you that you could tell us?
No, not really, not offhand. That's why I'm calling you guys, because I want to know.
Well, here's the thing. I imagine if you're a former junkie, or if you have some physical abnormality or something of that nature, they could hold that against you. If you got arrested for indecent exposure one time, or your camp counselor found some pot on you, or you said you were 5'5", but you're really only 5'4", or you said you graduated college, but you only went for 3 years, I don't think that stuff's going to be a problem.
Right. What I'm concerned about is that I've been pregnant before,
mm-hmm.
and twice, actually, and I did take the RU486 drugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything...
I don't think that would be an exclusionary factor.
I don't think so either, but is there anything on the paperwork that suggests something different?
It says that you have to go through a physical, and if you have any genetic disorders or, diseases in your family, then they won't mm-hmm. consider you.
All right. Well, that's not that, though. You're probably fine. So you're 5'5", 150?
Yes.
All right. A little bit heavy. What, and is it $5,000 straight across the board, or do you think we could, like, if you had a doctorate, could it be more than $5,000?
I doubt it.
So you haven't been offered the $5,000?
Not yet, no. I haven't even gone through the screening process.
Does it say up to $5,000?
No, it says $5,000 per donation.
Yeah, no, seriously, there's an exhaustive process usually looking at evidence of genetic factors, and I'd be surprised if there...
What's your degree of education?
I'm getting into the nursing program in January.
Uh-oh. Junior college?
Yep.
I'm going to have to deduct $1,500.
But you know what? I have had to take organic chemistry and biological chemistry and general chemistry and anatomy and physiology and general microbiology. So
at the junior college level, though,
actually, my professors teach at UC Davis as well.
Right. Then they have a huge bong load and go to junior college and teach those numbskulls. That's
you know,
how
I really don't agree with your dismay over junior college students.
Look, you know that the only exception I make for junior college is for nursing students.
I know. I do
so
know that.
You made it under the radar, and you are not one of the people I'm worried about. You actually take your classes, you're moving toward a specific degree, and you're going to make a living in this field.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm worried about the Hesher you see in the quad who's just hanging around eating a granola bar that he'll never get to the bottom to. He's 27, and he just doesn't want to move off his dad's sofa.
Right.
That's the lion's share of the idiots you go to junior college with.
Trust me, I know all about it.
Yes, you are amongst the elite.
Are you sure you're not reflecting back on 70s community college? I used to take summer courses. I mean, Nassau Community College.
Really?
Great. Oh, yeah, summer classes were great.
Great, because you had a lot of hot chicks, because hot chicks are dumb, and they make it into the junior college.
Well, and the professors were smoking so much pot back then.
I know.
Classes
That's
were
what I'm talking
anthropology,
about.
Anthropology, abnormal psych, I had a great class.
Here's the deal. You're a crappy student in high school. That's why you end up in junior college. That's all. You're not a good student. You need to either go to work or go to the military. Yes, there are a handful of success stories, a handful, in a sea of idiots. It ain't worth the... You know, it ain't worth the couple of why do we got to play the odds in society? Do you know what I mean? I know people have been going to junior college 17, 18 years. It just becomes some sort of purgatory for retards.
Now, I don't know if you can do it now. I knew guys.
Purgatard, I call it. Purgatardy.
I knew guys that extended their high school by 2 years, somehow hid the transcript, then started regular college, got into med school.
Now, please.
Some very devious
guys.
You know
one guy who did that.
I do know one guy who did that. He had a great time.
One guy.
Two extra years of high school.
One guy.
Partied.
Yeah. Now, look, junior college is just some sort of, it's just some sort of treadmill for stupid people. Just killing time before they actually admit they're bad students and they get a job. Unless they're in the nursing program.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're doing something.
Yeah.
All right?
2-year nursing degree is wonderful.
All right. Yep. We'll take although they're all nuts. All nurses are nuts.
Okay.
We know that. We'll take
a
quick break. And when we come back, we'll speak to Amanda, lesbian, who wants to get a boob job.
But.
girlfriend is giving her an ultimatum. Doesn't want the boob job.
No.
Or wants her boob job.
We can really help this person.
Does she want... Does a girlfriend not want you to have it, Amanda?
No, she doesn't want me to get them.
All right. What size are you?
I'm a B.
Oh, boob job. Oh, I was thinking boob reduction. That's why I was thrown off. I see. We're going up in boob size. Yeah, I was thinking of going. All right, hang on a second, Amanda.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, because it's a little threatening.
This is sort of the reversal of the guy that called that lost weight.
Right. Mm. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Got to get it on. That's what I'm talking about. No choice but to get it on. Mandate to get it on. I'll tell you, number one at getting it on is Dr. Bruce. Board certified, kiddies. Enjoy him while he lasts, everybody. Dr. Drew will be back here with Gary Busey on Sunday. And I don't know who else is coming here. Did you look up donate? Did you look up the definition of donate?
Yes.
What does it say?
To present as a gift to a fund or cause. Contribute.
To contribute, to present as a gift. Is anything about getting $5,000 in return?
No.
Well, maybe read on and find that little passage. Donate.
An organ donation.
Please. Yeah. And what about those who donate their organs? You know what I mean?
How about those that wake up in a hotel without an
organ? Oh, it doesn't happen. Oh. It's a wives' tale. All right. Let's talk to Amanda. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep.
All right. So you want to get a boob job?
Yeah.
You're a B cup right now.
Yeah, I'm a 34B.
Are you angry? Or are you just having a bad night?
No, I have never really had great self-esteem, and I thought that, you know, now that I'm 18 and I'm pretty much make my own choices, I was like, well, I should get a boob job. I mean, you know, I think it'd help boost my self-confidence up.
All right. Who molested you?
Nobody. I was just, when I was younger, I was overweight. And didn't find myself very attractive. So.
Just bad self-esteem.
Yeah.
Nothing made you a lesbian? No weirdness?
I dated guys until I was 17, and then I met this chick who just changed my whole sexuality.
Yeah. Chicks more pliable sexually.
Hmm.
Imagine a guy with that story, like, oh, man, I was into chicks, and then I met Herb. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just the way he moved.
What?
Could you imagine a guy
I've never heard that story.
I loved women. I worshipped them. I had relations with them. And then Herb drove into my life. And I'll never forget it. And that's, you know. Yeah. I'm not into all dudes. I'm into Herb. Yeah. Give him a nice BJ. Oh, yeah.
Well, you hear guys that say, I was married for 20 years, and then
I was married because I was gay, and I was trying to flush it out of my system. I was married to a beard because I was trying to keep my insurance job, and I didn't want to deal with it. I was attempting to go straight. But women actually have that thing where it's like, yeah, I was into dudes, and then I met this chick, and I never met anyone like her.
Yeah, but fast forward, what do you think Amanda will be doing in 10 years? I wouldn't guarantee she's going to be with a woman.
I wouldn't either. Also, no. Amanda's got something going on in her voice. And engineerist Michelle, who's our resident lesbian here, which is nice because we're top heavy in methadone addicts around here, but we only have one lesbian. And she, you're not feeling full lesbian, huh?
No, she sounds like my ex-girlfriend who was straight first and then...
flip-flop.
Oh, yeah.
What about Amanda's girlfriend, though? You think she's...
She's probably real lesbian.
Okay.
All right. So, Amanda.
Yeah?
Do you feel like you might head back toward the guys at some point?
I don't know. I mean, the girl I'm with right now, I'm in love with her, and I can say that honestly, but she's giving me the ultimatum of my breast job or being with her, and so I don't know if...
Why is she so against you getting a boob job?
I don't know. She won't tell me. She just says that she likes me the way I am, and she doesn't think that I need to change, but my self-confidence is so low that I think that I need it.
Right.
Well, do you think that she's assuming that you're going to flip-flop back to men after you get your boob job?
Possibly. I don't know.
All right. You sound like a delight, by the way. I don't see how she could do away with that personality.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you do for a living?
I'm a medical assistant.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean, Bruce?
You know when you go to the doctor and there's that person that takes your weight and your vital signs and everything?
Yeah.
I'm that person.
Yeah. All right. It's always weird. You see, here, it's always some strange nationality. Never quite sure what to talk about.
Always, the medical assistant.
Yeah, and there's always the fear they're going to tell you to take your pants off or do something weird. You know, never quite sure what the next request is going to be.
Because of the language difficulty.
No, it's a crapshoot when you go to the doctor. Half the time you get to keep your pants on, half the time you got to take them off, you know?
Yeah.
Never know. You never know in advance. They could want your pants at any time. It's the way it works.
Yeah. I prefer patients with their clothes on.
I do, too. Yeah. That's my thing. So I like to keep my pants on.
Medicine.
Yeah. And so anyway, look, if you want to get the boob job, you got to get the boob job. That means you could lose the relationship. I think you ought to talk about it a little bit more. I mean, it's nice. She likes you the way you are. She doesn't think you should change. I understand what she's saying. She right. thinks you're beautiful. She's your partner. If she's satisfied with you, then why aren't you satisfied with you? But I think your answer of, I don't know, I think you need to hash it out with her a little more.
Yeah, it's your body. And also, ultimatums are usually not a product of a healthy relationship. So it sounds like there's some control there and being right. threatened about your
yeah, but
procedure.
I think you can talk a yeah. little more with her about it. Ultimately, if you're hell-bent on it, then you do it. I don't think she's necessarily trying to control you. I think she's trying to say you're beautiful the way you are. And I know you have self-esteem issues, but getting sacks planted under your nipples is probably not going to correct that, at least in the big picture.
But she's saying, if you do, that's the end of the relationship. That's a little bit...
Yeah, but I wonder how often people make that threat that if you walk out or if you have another drink or if you get the implants, I'm done. How often it's actually done. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Remember when you're a kid and you're at Disneyland and you'd be like, your parents would be like, we're going to leave now. And little Bruce would be like, I want to ride the Pirate of the Caribbean. And they'd be like, well, we're leaving. And you're going, fine, leave. And I'm going, okay, we're going for the car. I guess you'll have to just get a job at Disneyland. And we'll send your brothers and sisters to visit you. They never left, though, did they?
Is there a Disneyland in Brooklyn?
Well, whatever.
It's Coney Island, maybe.
Coney Island. Whatever your equivalent was. They never left. They never left, though.
Yeah.
They said they were going to leave. They never left.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my right. point. But nothing.
Okay.
Rob?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been dating this girl for 2 years now, and pretty much... I didn't know she was a coke addict. And last week, my mom was... We were at my house, and last week, she walked into my girlfriend in the bathroom sniffing coke.
Mm-hmm. All right. And your mom is freaked out?
Yeah.
And she just walked into the bathroom. It wasn't a Saturday night or anything. It was just during the day.
She was pretty much just looking through the clothes, like, you know, putting some laundry away, I guess, or getting some.
Yeah,
and
but she saw her snorting cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I know this sounds crazy, but I'm not into all this, like, oh, you're a drug addict, or you're this, or you're that. If you're doing some blow on a Saturday night when you're drinking, maybe you're not a drug addict. But if it's the middle of the week, the middle of the day, and you're doing a line, you got a problem.
Right.
How old's your girlfriend?
17, too.
And how long have you been with her?
2 years.
And you had no idea, or
well, I mean, I knew she did smoke some pot here and there, nothing too like drank a mm-hmm. little bit, nothing too big. But
what did your mom say about it?
Well, she didn't really confront her on it. She just kind of like and just walked out.
Well, why don't you talk to her about it and give here's what I would say, here's what I know. I'm not coming at you in it to accuse you or persecute you. I want to help you. It seems like you have a problem. what can you tell me about this? And see what she has to say. Because obviously this is somebody who may be on the brink of spinning out of control. I mean, she's 17. She's doing blow in the middle of the day.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah. The chances are like 99.9% she has a problem.
Chances are.
Right. And probably she had, mom or dad had a drug problem. I mean, 17 and doing coke is pretty hardcore.
Yeah, here's the, everyone. I would reckon, now he's calling from Studio City. I would reckon that 35 to 40% of the high schoolers in that valley have done blow by 17 and change.
No, mm-hmm. I doubt it.
And blow's coming back. I was at a bachelor party a couple of weeks back. Chicks came in, it's like, where's the coke? I was like, whoa, I wish I had some coke. The coke's coming back.
Coke and speed, yeah.
Coke's back, baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see it in the drug treatment centers.
You do, but it seemed it was laying low for a while, a few years ago. Now it's back.
Yeah. Well, coke, any of the stimulants, they're bad drugs and they're bad in different ways, but coke scares me because its potential to cause strokes, heart attacks, and to overdose, and also the rapidity with which people get hooked and really deep into an addiction in a very short period of time. So,
all right. Why don't you confront her? And you may have to also talk to your mom about it, and you may have to get a counselor involved.
Yeah, because 17, and she's hiding it, she's probably very adept at explaining it away, and Rob's going to get a great story and believe
it. Good news is he's getting laid left and right.
Yeah.
If she's doing blow at 17 in the middle of the day, you know, that's not all she's blowing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Rob, the girl's got a serious problem, and she's probably...
Most likely.
Right. Okay. He's probably pretty codependent.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah.
Snake.
Get it on, baby. Dr. Bruce here checking his Rolex. Is that a Rolex? You got that at a pawn shop. What
it's
is
not
that?
A Rolex.
What is it?
It's a Citizen.
Citizen?
Yeah, but I like that blue face, you know.
It's nice.
Thank you.
Chicks dig that. It's pretty worth special. Something. You get it at the pawn shop?
Yeah. My buddy's pawn shop.
What else? You get like, I picture you getting like half tubes of toothpaste and dental floss at the pawn shop.
No, I got a nice laptop this week.
But do you buy, you know, sundries, personal items, Q-tips?
No.
Well, only one side of the Q-tip was used. Use the other side.
No. You know, Redlands Pawn, Tony and Joe, they see them for a great deal. But they only deal in high-quality merchandise.
Let me say something about Rolexes. The pawn shop. I've tried.
You met Tony. Great guy.
I've tried.
Construction guy. Yeah.
No idea. I've tried the pawn shop a few times, and here's what my experience of the pawn shop is, because I only know tool prices. This is a Milwaukee Sawzall, it's a reciprocating saw. This is a two-speed, comes in the metal case. I can get a new one at Home Depot for $118.95. This one was in the trunk of a car that was in a lake. Was in Lake Huron for six winters. We pulled it out. It doesn't have the cord on it. Good news. I'll sell it to you for $115. What? If we're talking about $20, I might think about it because I got to take it apart and rewire the armature. But for a $4 savings,
that's
not exactly a deal. I've seen plenty of pawn shops that way.
It's disturbing.
It's more than disturbing. Charles?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You had a tattoo lifted?
Yes. I got the tattoo probably 6 years ago from outside the U.S. And when I got it done, my skin basically lifted. So the tattoo kind of, it was risen above the skin. I don't know if the ink was temporary or not, but when I grew older, it stretched and the ink started to fade. I don't know if it was a reaction or anything, but I retouched it, and the ink seems to be fine for now, but the skin is still risen. So I don't know if it would end up, you know, causing some kind of weird skin reaction later on or whatnot. Maybe it's, you know, the quality of my skin.
No, it's unusual that you're going to have a problem in terms of reaction to the ink. I have seen individuals develop thickening of the skin and have long-term reactions, whether it's allergic or something else. But it's very unusual. If you have a concern, you can see a dermatologist. You can have a section of it biopsied. But as far as any serious problems, such as a skin cancer or anything else like that, it's almost unheard of.
All right, so the plan is?
Have a dermatologist take a look at it, see what the thickening is about, if it's a reaction to the ink or if it's some other disorder.
Alexandra, see, short, succinct,
to the point.
Alexandra?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, you're 18. Your mom is in denial over stepdad abusing her.
Yes.
What kind? Physical abuse?
No. I'm sorry, Rachel. I was molested by my stepfather for...
Oh, over abusing you. Your stepdad sexually molested you?
Yes.
How old were you?
I was 12 and a half when it first started.
And it went on for how long?
3 years.
3 years?
Yes.
And your biological mother doesn't believe that happened?
I can't say she doesn't believe it because I know... that she, deep down, she believes.
She just doesn't want to acknowledge it. She doesn't want to deal with it.
Because she's in love and she has her life and it's...
Okay.
It's more than that. I would suspect your mother was abused.
Yes, she was abused.
She has incredible boundary issues and denial, and you need to report it and you need to...
I did report it, actually.
Okay.
I had reported it and it actually... Our relationship got really bad, and it was constant fighting. My grades had gone down in school.
Alexandra, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're really out of time. Let me just tell you this. You're not going to do a whole lot to change your mom.
Exactly.
Your job is to get as far away from that place as you can. You're 18. You're smart.
I moved out when I was 16.
Good. You're fine. You're going to have to put your mom up on dry dock and your relationship up on dry dock for a number of years until either she changes or you no longer care. I don't think that's going to happen for a while. Just move forward. It's your life.
Or you'll
you're
start
alone
doing
right
drugs. Or
that's right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, that's the show, everybody. That's the week. Gary Busey. Oh, you do not want to miss Gary Busey on Sunday. I want to thank Engineer Michelle for doing a fantabulous job all week. Engineer Chris for doing a great job. Engineer Vic.
Rick.
Engineer Vic.
Where's
Rick
Anderson?
For doing a great job. Anderson for doing a great job. Who's engineering tonight? Todd, my favorite.
Yeah. Like Todd.
Nice job, Todd. Todd filling in for everyone. Bruce filling in. Michelle filling in. Junior producer, Lauren.
She hates when you do that.
Yeah, she's like, how about just 11 juniors? I'm like, no, 122.
Yeah.
So she did a great job all week. God bless her. And God bless producer Ann. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
Sponsors or the station.
The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.